Welcome to Straight Talk with Kathy, your go-to source for health and wellness discussions from one of our country's leading motivational speakers, Kathy Robinson Pickett. And now, without further delay, here's Straight Talk with Kathy.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Kathy Robinson Pickett, and I'm a woman with something to say. This is one of our programs in a series of programs on things that I think parents and students should know in high school and headed off to college and be able to talk about with each other. Recently, I was at my son's freshman orientation at University of South Florida, and while I was sitting in the audience, I really started thinking about what a great job they were doing with orientation, but that there were so many things that needed to be talked about with parents and students that just aren't. And that certainly has been my experience in the last decade in higher ed, that we're afraid to have certain conversations. Schools are afraid to scare parents, and kids are afraid to ask questions, and parents are afraid to ask questions. So I'm trying to give you some of that background information that will hopefully just at least spark some discussions with your children or your students or your family and friends. This week's podcast, we're going to talk about sexual responsibility. And when we hear the word sexual responsibility, what is the first thing that pops into your head? I guarantee you, for the vast majority of you in that second, it was either condoms or birth control. And yep, that's part of sexual responsibility, but that is what I tell your children is down the list. When we talk about sexual responsibility, we're talking about the whole body. And one of the really interesting things in the last 10 years that I've done with every freshman class that I've talked to at Florida Southern or at other universities or colleges across the country is ask some just basic questions before we start talking about sex. And the first question I ask is, how many of you in this room, and their eyes are closed obviously, how many of you in this room have had a pap smear before? How many of you have been taught how to do self-breast exams? How many of you have been taught how to do self-testicular exams? How many of you do either of those exams at least once a month? You would be shocked, parents. Less than 25% of the girls in the classes raise their hand and say they've ever had a pap smear. Close to 40% will raise their hand and say they don't know what a pap smear is. As far as testicular exams, probably less than 10% of the boys have been taught how, and even fewer actually do them. Breast exams, girls are higher on that, but still probably only at about 70%, and only about 40% that do them regularly. And when we talk about sexual responsibility, those things are included. It's about the whole body. First off, a pap smear is not just to see if a child or a woman has been exposed to a sexually transmitted disease. It's to check and make sure everything's okay. We find out if someone is prone to cancer, if maybe they have any other viruses, maybe if they have ovarian cysts or something like that. So pap smears are really important. Sometimes an older fashioned doctor is going to tell you, oh, you don't need a pap smear until you're 22, 23, 24. That just has not been my experience with young ladies. I can't tell you over the years how many young women have come into my office in terrible pain around their ovaries and different things and turn out to have ovarian cysts or other things wrong. So pap smears are important. Self-breast exams are incredibly important. I know some of you have heard in the news lately where they're changing their recommendations for mammograms and breast exams and all of those kinds of things. I'm telling you, as a breast cancer survivor, I found my own breast cancer. I found my lump. It's important that we teach our young women how to do that. And if you as a parent are listening to this and you don't do monthly exams, you need to be doing them too. So maybe you can make your breast buddy, your daughter while she's in college, and you pick a date the first Monday of every month or whatever that is. There's a great organization out there on Facebook, and most of you have Facebook, and it's called Fill Your Boobies. And if you sign up with them, you'll get monthly reminders that it's time to be doing that and all kinds of really good information. Testicular exams is so important. young men, that's just, again, something that isn't offered out there too often to them in school on how to learn how to do those. But there's lots of resources on the web. I know lots of times they're going to be embarrassed to have that conversation with their doctor, so they can YouTube it. And there's lots and lots of medical sites out there that will teach them by video how to do those self-testicular exams. So those things are important. But now that we've talked about that, let's talk about what your kids really want to talk about when they talk about sex, and that's what they consider sexual responsibility, and that's the choices that they make. First, let me say that 18 years ago when I first started doing these programs, it was a lot easier for me to stand up in front of parents and say, listen, you have to be realistic and understand what pressures your kids face today, and be realistic of the fact that there's a really good chance they're going to become sexually active their first year in college if they're not already sexually active. That was easy to say when Lindsay and Garrett were 1 and 2. Now that my children are 18 and 19, it's a whole new ball game, right? First, for me, and many of you listening to this podcast, our kids are much younger going to college. My daughter Lindsay is 19, and she will be a senior this year at Florida Gulf Coast University. So our kids are entering in college much younger. They're coming in with credits, and they're being put in classes with much older students than what they are. So they're being exposed to all kinds of things out there that maybe they wouldn't have been exposed to in our generation. So that's one thing to keep in mind as well. The reality is that once they are on their own, they have a new freedom, and there's experimenting that goes along with that. So I want to talk about sex and safe sex and abstinence. First off, what is 100% safe? 100% safe is choosing to be abstinent. And some of our kids have made that choice and made that promise to themselves. I'll tell you a quick story, though. I was speaking one time at a college, and I didn't know that they had a pledge that students were to take when they entered the college. And the pledge was that they were not going to be sexually active until marriage. But no one told me this when they invited me to this college in Georgia, and I was there to speak, and I was there to do my normal HIV and sex ed program. So with me, I had a whole case of 1,000 condoms. And so I had a fairly large number of people in the room that night, probably 70 or 80, and my late husband Steve was with me, and we were kind of on a road trip. We were doing 5 or 6 colleges, and so he had brought in just the whole box of condoms because this was our first stop along the way. And so after the presentation, I'm staying around talking to the kids, and, you know, people are taking stuff and information and all that kind of stuff. And this gentleman was standing in the back of the room, and he waited, and he came up to me, and he turned out he was an administrator at the college. And he says, you know, I'm really sorry. Someone should have told you, you know, our students make a pledge that they will not be sexually active before marriage. And so you really probably should have tilted your program in a different direction. And I said, well, you know, if I had known that information, I absolutely could have gone in a little different place, you know, maybe more of a high school type presentation or a community type presentation. And as he was talking, I was packing stuff up, and Steve walked over, and those of you that knew Steve know that he just had a way of interceding in situations. And he just walked up, and he opened the box, and he said, sir, there was 1,000 condoms in here when Kathy started to speak. There's about 20 in here now. And that's the reality. That was the reality, that these kids may have signed this pledge to enter into this institution, but the reality is that 980 condoms weren't going to become water balloons on the campus that night. So we have to talk in general terms. So first off, what is safe sex? Safe sex is anything that doesn't exchange sexual fluid. Kissing, hugging, massaging, masturbation, phone sex, and the one the kids love to talk about, cyber sex. Yes, mom, dad, cyber sex on the computer, it's a big thing. Sexting on their telephones. And in case you don't know what that term means, it means sending explicit messages and pictures back and forth. Now, what I'd like to say about the sexting thing is, kids, parents, everybody hearing this, understand that once something gets into cyberspace, it is gone. It is gone forever, and it is going to be out there forever, and it can be sent to someone else forever. You may think you're just sending your boyfriend a picture. Maybe you flash him or you in the bar or whatever that is, and you send that picture. Well, that's fine and good until he shows it to someone else, or until you break up and he sends it to someone else, or maybe puts it up on Facebook or someplace else that someone's going to see that. Understand that anything you put into cyberspace has the ability to come back around and affect you, whether it's for other jobs, whether it's for other relationships, whether it's just plain embarrassment. So keeping that in mind is really important. The other thing is about sexually transmitted diseases and sex. You can transmit STDs anyway: anal sex, vaginal sex, or oral sex. So many people don't consider oral sex sex today, and I'm not going to get into the moral debate about that. What I will tell you is that you can transmit any sexually transmitted disease through oral sex. The easiest to get is herpes, and we certainly have a huge, huge issue with herpes in our country today. In the state of Florida, where I'm broadcasting this, 1 in 4 women of childbearing years who have had sex are positive for sexually transmitted herpes. 1 in 5 people in the general population in our state are positive for sexually transmitted herpes. And that statistic is pretty consistent across the country. So no, herpes isn't going to kill you, but it certainly never goes away. And it absolutely affects every part of your life. It affects who you trust, how you feel about yourself, what information you now have to share with other people, the fact that you have to take that medicine for the rest of your life, the fact that you could infect your child before your child is ever even born. So please understand that all STDs, even the ones that do go away, have a profound effect on you for the rest of your life. There are countless numbers of STDs out there. The most common that we talk about on college campuses are HPV, which is genital warts, which also does cause 70% of the cervical cancer that we face in our country today. We have a vaccine called the Gardasil vaccine. Most young women have been talked to about the Gardasil vaccine. What I think is amazing is I'll ask them in that list of questions how many of them have had it at the beginning of the program, and tons of them raise their hand to say they've had the Gardasil vaccine, but yet most of them are still seeing their pediatricians as their doctor. So have they had an honest conversation about sex? Probably not. The vaccine is great, but with it needs to come some conversation as well, because there's a real misconception out there. So many young women think that they've had a Gardasil vaccine, they can't get any other sexually transmitted disease. They also think the birth control pill protects them from sexually transmitted diseases. The only protection from any sexually transmitted disease would be a barrier, and that barrier would be a latex condom. If you're allergic to latex, there are several products on the market that are made out of polyurethane. The easiest one, the most common one, is Avanti, and it's a type of condom made out of polyurethane. You can buy them in any drugstore. They come in a black box with pink letters on them. STDs in different areas certainly have different rates. But all areas of the country, no matter where you're listening to this, in the United States or in Canada or in Saudi Arabia, all countries face an epidemic proportion of sexually transmitted diseases today. If your body shows any sign, if you have drippiness, burningness, hurtingness, pains in your ovaries, smelliness, you need to seek medical attention. Hopefully you're on a college campus that is able to do STD workups, but there are a number of campuses out there that can. So if you're at a college that can't, you can go to your local health department, your local Planned Parenthood, your local doctor, obviously. There are lots and lots of resources out there. We're not going to have time today to talk about sexual assaults and those kinds of things, but we will have a podcast on that soon. What I want you to understand, though, is the vast majority of sex that occurs is consensual. Your child has made the choice to have sex. If they're old enough to take the responsibility for that, then they have to be old enough to take responsibility for themselves. They need to be checked regularly for sexually transmitted diseases. They need to be seeing the doctor at least once a year. They need to be responsible for getting themselves condoms and making good choices. The vast majority of college campuses today, condoms are supplied for free. Planned Parenthood has them. Health departments have them. If they go to a 24-hour store, they need to be latex, and they absolutely need to look at their expiration date. I'm going to close this by telling you that I speak on all types of campuses, Catholic campuses, Southern Baptist campuses, Seventh-day Adventist, Methodist, private, and public. It doesn't matter what type of campus, how big a campus, how small a campus, whether they sign pledges or not. Adults make decisions to be sexually active. And your children, as they go off to college, are now adults. So getting the education they need is extremely important. If they have questions about sexually transmitted diseases, their wellness centers, their health clinics, they all have information. Again, a great website to visit is the Centers for Disease Control, cdc.gov, or your local, your state health department in Florida. It would be floridadepartmentofhealth.com. If you would like to have more information from me, please don't hesitate to tweet me, to email me, to Facebook me, to contact me in any way. If you would like me to speak on your college campus, I would love to come, or on your high school campus, I would love to come. You can reach me all the same way. So on Twitter, it's Straight Talk Pod. On Facebook, it's Kathy Robinson Pickett. By email, it's straighttalkwithkathy@gmail.com. And our website, as always, is straighttalkwithkathy.com. Please understand, this is a hard subject to talk about. Sex is hard to talk about. But the only way we're going to get a handle on it is for us to be able to start having conversations between generations. And parents, this one is for you. 14% of our newly diagnosed cases of HIV occur in people over the age of 59. Are one of our fastest growing groups of sexually transmitted diseases in our country are over the age of 50. So STDs don't care what color you are, how old you are, how much money you have, where you work, where you live. They're equal opportunity diseases. So until next week, be the boss of your brain.